This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal for having gathered us here once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaikah and to cause His mercy and His sakinah to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the best of nations. So we are better than the ummah or the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, better than the nation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, better than the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. We are better than these nations, but not for free. This title does not come for free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. That you are the best of nations. Why? That were extracted for the people. Why is that? You are the best of nations extracted for the people because you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this the condition of us being the best of nations. When we leave that, when we turn away from that, then we are naturally humiliated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu used to say, نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام فمهما ابتغينا العزة بغيرها أذلنا الله. That we are a nation, Allah has raised us with Islam. So if we look for that izzah, for that sharaf, for that honor anywhere else, then Allah will humiliate us. Allah will humiliate us. If we take a look at the Arab Peninsula at the time before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people were unrecognized. They were not known amongst the nations. They were not looked up to. Yes, perhaps small pockets of them were looked up to, but as a whole, they were barefoot. They lived in tents. They lived in mud houses. They were not looked up to for any technological advancement or anything of that sort. When Islam came and they adopted Islam, from being barefooted, having nothing, no honor, no izzah, nothing at all, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal raised them to conquer different lands across the globe at large. Allahu Akbar. What changed? What changed? The fact that they became Muslimin. They accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they accepted Islam as their standard. So as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them. The minute we as Muslimin begin to look at anything else, perhaps our technological advancements and how intelligent we are and the knowledge that we have, etc., as a reason for our izzah, for our honor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the collapse of that nation. Today, we look at ourselves as being inferior because of Islam. We look at ourselves as being less amongst the rest of the nations because we are Muslimin. We are lacking in technological advancement. We are lacking in following the ways of the West. So we look at ourselves as inferior. This is the very reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised us in the first place. Islam is the reason why we have that izzah, why we have that honor. And as Muslimin, if we get rid of religion from our lives and we stop enjoining good and forbidding evil, that is the beginning of the decline of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're moving towards Qiyamah. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ إِسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. Indeed, my example and your example, who is this he is talking about? Us, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our example with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ إِسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا, like a man who has kindled a fire. فَجَعَلَتِ الدَّوَابُ وَالْفَرَاشُ يَقَعْنَ فِيهِ. So the moths and the animals, you know, the flying creatures, they begin to be attracted to that fire. They are attracted to that fire. So they come towards it. فَأَنَا أَخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَقَحَّمُونَ فِيهِ. So I am holding on to you, telling you not to go to that fire, and you insist on falling into it. Allahu Akbar. If we think of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that you want to get into that fire. You are heading towards it. I'm telling you, don't do it. You are headed towards the fire. You're going to burn yourself there. If we take a look at a moth and how it's attracted towards the fire, it will keep flitting in and out of that fire until it reaches a point where it is completely burnt. Completely burnt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his commandments and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are keeping us away from that fire. Don't go there. Don't burn yourself. But we insist on burning ourselves. Why? حُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. The hellfire has been surrounded by that which is desirable. Zina, alcohol, clubbing, music, etc. All actually surrounding the fire. So insan has that natural inclination. He wants to go towards it. He wants to do it. But he's going towards the fire. Keep to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand by them and you will be saved from that fire. In the same way that a human being who's standing around that fire sees the moths going into it, and he tries to get hold of the moth. Keep away, you'll be destroyed. No matter what he does, that moth wants to get into that fire. That moth is so enticed by what it sees that it keeps going into the fire. You see, the problem today is that when we tell a person that, brother or sister, what you're doing is haram. What you're doing is not beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not like what you're doing right now. Immediately, who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me? Don't tell me that. But this person who is telling you to keep away from that action is actually taking your hand and pulling you away from the fire. We should be thanking them. We should be grateful to them. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having given us brothers and sisters who look after our best interests. Yes, there is a manner in which to do that. There is a way in which we should be doing it. We shouldn't be going around doing it in such a rough way that the people are turned away from Islam. Bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Give glad tidings and don't turn the people away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do it in the correct manner, in a good manner. Ma kana rifqu fi shay'in illa zana wa man tuzi'a min shay'in illa shana. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that politeness, good manner, is in nothing except that it beautifies it. Meaning, when it is a part of your actions and your good character, then it will beautify you. Being polite, being humble, doing things in the correct manner. And when it is snatched out of an action, when you take out that politeness and you are harsh, then it actually makes that action ugly. Despite you trying to be do something good. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented his companions from doing that which was haram. And they were ever more so grateful to him for this. We find that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of Banu Israel. And how from amongst the people, there were those who actually tried to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were told not to fish on the Sabbath, not to fish on a Saturday. And they were a people who were well known for fishing. They lived on the ocean, they lived on the coast. So this was their trade. This is what they did day in, day out. There was only one day they were told, you are not allowed to fish. But they decided that they wanted to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How was this? On the Sabbath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the fish to come up. And the fish would be there for them to see, to be enticed by. Will you follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will you do the wrong thing? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. And ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst these people there were remnants that were there at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is being told, ask them about what they used to do with regards to the Sabbath. These people used to actually cast nets, or they would cause a, you know, they would build up a wall such that when the fish came up on the Sabbath, the fish would remain. So they would not actually fish, but they would hold that those fish for the next day. On the Sunday, they would come and take all of those fish, trying to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst these people, there were three groups. There were those who tried to engage in the trickery. And then there were those who said that we will not prevent them from doing so, but we will not do so. Allah will destroy them. And then there were those who prevented them. So those who were not preventing but not engaging as well said, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. That why are you telling the people to stop doing this when Allah will destroy them for what they have done, or Allah will punish them a severe punishment? So the ones who were preventing them, saying, don't do this, they said, قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. This is only to present an excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and such that they will be conscious perhaps. There is a chance that they will be guided as well. Now, they said that this is an excuse to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when we go before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, we don't want Him to ask us, you were there, you had the chance to tell them, don't do this, and you did not prevent them. So this is an excuse that we have before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we prevented them, we tried to stop them, but they did not listen to us. And later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And when they forgot the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we saved those who were preventing from evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not save anybody else. Even those who stood by and said, let them be destroyed by Allah, they were destroyed as well. Why? As-sukutu anil jarima. They kept quiet about the crime that was being committed. Imagine, you see someone raping another individual. What do? It's abhorrent. You immediately try to get hold of that person. Hey, get away from this. You can't do that. Right? Now, if you stand by and watch and say, this man will be destroyed anyways, you are part of that crime as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them all of them. Except for who? For those who prevented them from doing the wrongdoing. They forbid them. They said, don't do this. Stop. It's wrong for you to do this. You see, the problem that we have today is that we believe in the wrongdoing so much and we love it so much that we don't want anyone to tell us, it's haram, brother. It's haram, sister. You can't do this. The Muslim community is made up of units. And each mu'min, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyani yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. Each believer strengthens another believer. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes them as a wall or a building. You see how the bricks in a building, one brick supports the other. The minute one is missing, one is out, that entire building becomes weaker. A second one, a third, a fourth, a fifth. Once those all come out, you find that the entire building collapses. The entire building collapses. But it started with what? With one brick. So if we are not there to tell each other, brother, this is haram, don't do it, don't do it, then one brick is being removed. Sister, this is wrong, you shouldn't be engaging in this, another brick is removed. So slowly the society begins to crumble. And as a result, eventually there is a collapse of that entire society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the mechanism of our savior, which is to enjoin good and forbid evil. And why am I focusing on forbidding evil? Because today, everyone wants to hear a good word, come to the masjid, come to salah, do good deeds, give charity, fast in the month of Ramadan, go for hajj. People don't have a problem listening to this. But the minute you tell them zina is wrong, alcohol is wrong, consuming it is wrong, they don't want to listen. Why? Because those who are engaged in zina, we don't want to hear that message. But that message is for you, brother. That message is for you, sister. You need it more than anyone else. And this is why we are the best of nations so long as we hold on to that standard of enjoining good and preventing evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us an example. And he said, مَثَلُ الْقَائِمِ عَلَى حُدُودِ اللَّهِ وَالْوَاقِعِ فِيهَا كَمَثَلِ قَوْمٍ اسْتَهَمُوا فِي سَفِينَةٍ. The example of the one who stands upright, holding on fast to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoining good, preventing evil, and the one who falls into that haram is like those who have come to a boat on the shores of the ocean. And they are two groups. They come to the boat and they have no option but to have a raffle. Why are they having a raffle? There are two portions of the boat, a bottom deck, which is below the ocean, and the top deck, which is on top. So everybody wants to go onto the top. They want to see where they are going. They want to enjoy the sunlight, etc. So they have a raffle as to who is going to be on the top and who is going to be on the bottom. So when they go into that boat and the people of the bottom need some water, they need to come up. So they come up and they walk over the others and they get to the water, they bring the water down, perhaps they want to wash their clothes or they want to drink or whatever it is, bathe. So they go up to the top and they collect the water and they come down. Every time they go, they're trampling over others, they're disturbing others. So some wise cracks at the bottom of that ship decide that, you know what, we're always going up to the top for water, why don't we make a hole right here? Let's make a hole right here and we will get access to the water. Allahu Akbar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, so if the people of the top are not to stop them from making that hole, gharaqu jami'a, they will all drown. They will all go down. That entire ship sinks. Right? So If we are not to stop others from doing haram, we will all drown. We will all go down. This is the example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. The sin of the next human being affects you if you do not prevent them from doing it. If you do not go to them and say, brother, sister, don't do this. Allah does not like it. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده, that the one who sees something evil, something abhorrent, something wrong, let him change it with his hand. فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه. So if he is not able to do this, then with his tongue at least. فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. And if he is not able to even speak with his tongue, it will cause fitna, it will cause a problem, then with his heart at least. Let him think that these people, what they are doing is wrong and it is bad. So at least if we are so weak that we cannot stand up and hold that person away from the sin, and we cannot prevent them from doing that which is wrong, then we should have that feeling within our hearts. We cannot speak out against the injustice. We should have that feeling that that which they are doing is wrong. Unfortunately, today it is so common to see certain sins that we become immune to it. We no longer even think that what they are doing is wrong, what they are doing is haram. At that point, we have let go of our deen. We have let go of our deen. Why? Because we no longer even believe right is right and wrong is wrong. So it is important for us to hold on to this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a man coming into the masjid and he is sitting with his companions. They are perhaps remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or there is some sort of lesson going on in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man comes in and he begins to urinate. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he leaves him, and the companions become angered by this. Why is he leaving him? This man is here urinating in the masjid. We need to get hold of him. They were angry at the man. What is he doing? He's urinating in the masjid. You don't need knowledge to understand that this is wrong. So they are ready to get up, hold him back, and stop him from doing this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, da'uhu, da'uhu, wa hariqu ala bawlihi. That leave him and let him complete, and when he is finished, take a pail of water and throw it over this urine. And then he summons the man once he has completed, once he has finished. He says, come here. What you have done is wrong. Look, this is the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you do this? How can you come and urinate in the masjid? So there was a way that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted, an usloob, a mannerism. He didn't tell the companions, yes, get hold of him, stop him, and tell him not to do that, kick him out of the masjid. No, that would have been the wrong way to deal with that situation. Sometimes leaving that person to finish and taking time to go to him after he has completed his deed is actually the best way forward. Why? Because whilst he is doing it, he is in that ladha, enjoying that sin. So he doesn't regret it. But the minute that that sin is complete, his iman kicks in once again. Astaghfirullah. What I did was wrong. So at this juncture, if you catch him and you tell him, brother, you know what you did, do you think it's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Leave a question mark in his head. At least ma'ziratan ila rabbikum, you have an excuse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tried, ya Allah. Hidayah is not in your hands. You do your best and then you leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wala'allahum yattaqoon, perhaps he will be guided. And if that guidance happens at your hands, alhamdulillah, you've won one person over. You've won someone over that will actually benefit you in the akhirah. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us the end of times. And he told us that لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ, that you will follow the ways of the people before you. the ways of the Christians and the Jews, handspan for handspan, and half an arm's length for half an arm's length, وَذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ. You will follow their ways. حَتَّى لَوْ سَلَكُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَسَلَكْتُمُوهُ. That if they were to go into the hole of a lizard, you would have followed them into that hole. Let me ask ourselves a question. What is that hole today? What is that hole? That hole is that which we see on our phones. That which is being promoted on our phones is not from any Muslim. It does not come from the Islamic Empire at its strength, at its might. It comes from those who don't believe in Allah, those who don't believe in the Messenger, those who don't believe in Jannah, those who don't believe in the Akhirah. They don't want you to follow Islam. So we engage with them on the various social media apps. We've got TikTok, we've got Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And what are we watching on these apps? What are we doing on these apps? Are we watching Islamic content? Or are we watching that which is a lizard's hole? A lizard's hole. It's taking us into that hole such that when we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are with them. Slowly but surely the values, the Islamic values, are being removed from us. So that we don't care anymore. We don't bother anymore. It doesn't matter if people are doing haram. It's okay, leave them. That's their life for them to live. No, it affects you as well. But we don't care anymore. Why? Because we have followed the way of the people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't believe in the last day, who don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is it not enough for us to know that these are the people behind this? These are the people behind these various apps. We know what they want, but we follow them regardless. So eventually we will follow them towards the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to enjoin good and forbid evil. One last point. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Every one of you is a shepherd, and each one of you is to be questioned about his ra'iyah, about his flock. And a man in his home is a shepherd. So his children, his wife, his spouse, that he is the shepherd of that family. And the woman is a shepherd within her home, her family, her husband, her people. She is the shepherd. She needs to tell them when they are engaging in wrong, when they are doing something haram, don't do it. And she should enjoin goodness as well. She should tell them to do that which is good as well. So each one of us will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did you do with your family? Did you tell them to do good and forbid them from doing evil? This is the starting point. Because an entire community is made up of units of marriages, units of families. So each family looks after their own. Eventually you find that the entire community is strengthened. So charity begins at home. We need to begin with our own family members. Tell them to do that which is good. Forbid them from doing that which is evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause an entire goodness to come about amongst the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the criterion between right and wrong. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.